Hey guys, Alex here with the AJ Nashville Podcast. Hey, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsors. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900. Next on our great list of sponsors is the Wrap Lab. Any type of printed marketing that you're looking for, maybe it's a wrap on your vehicle, maybe it's a new logo design for your new company, reach out to Rich at the Wrap Lab. Let him know I sent you, 615-913-0372.
Hey guys, Alex here, ajnashville.com. Here with my buddy, Eduardo
Aguirre. There you go, bro.
See, I'm getting better. Yeah. I just need to roll. Aguirre.
You got it.
Anyways, so today's podcast, you know, it's interesting. Eduardo and I have been friends for quite a while now, and we sit down, and when we sit down and have conversations, we actually have meaningful conversations that aren't bullshit. You know, hey, did you sell a house today?
Politics.
Right. Did you kneel today? we don't have anything like that. So usually we'll get together and we'll talk about things that are, you know, meaningful human being conversations. And one of the things that we actually talked about during lunch today, which I wish we had a microphone for because it would have been an incredible podcast to sit there at the table with, and I don't know if we can replicate it, but we're damn sure going to try.
Yeah, we're going to try. I can call my buddies at the FBI about my wire, see if they recorded it.
Hey, can you send me a copy of that back, please? But so what we're going to talk about today is, you know, both Eduardo and I came from struggles when we were young. And when I say struggles, I don't mean that our parents didn't try their best to provide for us, but sometimes there's limitation on what people can do. I know in my case, my mom did everything she could to provide for me, and I know I could say the same confidently about Eduardo's case. I've met his mom, I met his dad, both very hardworking people.
Very true, yes.
Very, very nice people. My family, as a matter of fact, they said, you know, he's got an awesome family. We love his family. So the question is, or there's no question on the effort. What it is when you have children and you have bills and you have all that stuff, sometimes making ends meet is a little bit harder to do. And so the podcast today, we're going to talk about overcoming and having some of those difficulties as a child to growing up to realizing that, hey, you know what? We're going to build something of our own. Not because Correct. We're ungrateful for what we have, but because we were grateful for what we have currently. You know, it's very easy to get up in the morning and you go and you flip on a light switch and boom, there's electricity. You don't even think about it. It just happens.
It's just there.
Right.
You get so used to it. You drive down the street, you see 100 light poles, but you don't know.
Yeah.
They're just there. You're so used to it. You don't think about it.
You're so used to turning on the faucet and water comes out, flushing the toilet and the waste goes away, opening the fridge and there's food in there, you know, whereas as children, there's a lot of times where you turn on the faucet, nothing came out, or where I didn't have electricity. So we used to dread when it'd get dark because in California, it gets dark a little bit later. But we would dread it because our solution to not having electricity was taking the car battery out of my mom's truck and hooking up Christmas lights to it. And Christmas lights were lower voltage, so we were able to light up a specific area. And that's kind of where we hung out, you know. We'd all sit in the living room or something like that and have the lights up and hook it to the battery. And when they started getting dim, we'd take it off, go to bed, throw the battery in the truck the next day, pop start the clutch. You're ready to go. Now you got power.
I know these tricks.
Life hack. If you don't have electricity, no, because that's not pertinent anymore because most people don't even know how to drive a manual transmission, let alone pop a clutch.
That's the new theft.
Anti-theft
device. Anti-theft device. Yeah. Get a stick shift.
Exactly. They're like, 6-speed? What is that? You know, or we would take 5-gallon buckets, and along the way, there used to be a grocery store down the road called Hughes. And Hughes was the comparison of Kroger here. Now, I lived on a street called Kitchen Avenue, and on the way there was a big drainage ditch, and then you walk down a very long street passing a school, and along the way, the sprinklers would be on. Well, you can unscrew the head of the sprinkler and get water into a cup and pour it in a 5-gallon jug, put the 5-gallon jug back in a wagon and carry the wagon back home. Now you have a place, or now you have water to pour in the back of the toilet to flush your toilet the one or two times a day that you could flush it. And now you had water to make food or something like that if that's what you chose to do. Very, very different times.
It's I guess the biggest thing we were talking about was how – We are I'm not ungrateful. We just don't see it as much anymore. We're spoiled by it. I think you used the word spoiled. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very true. I remember nowadays, I'm like, oh, crap, it's laundry day. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But I got a freaking washer and dryer underneath my bedroom where I said it in the first story, whatever you want to call it, where I can just walk downstairs with a basket, put it in there, walk back out, and, you know, obviously dry it and put it back upstairs.
I hang dry all my stuff.
But, well, look at you.
That's the hood.
Do you need a dryer? I'll get you a dryer, bro.
I got one.
No, so, I mean, I remember when I was little, we had a, I don't know what it called, like a rock.
Washboard?
Yeah, a rock. It made of concrete.
Yeah.
And I remember washing my undies and my friends walking by like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, washing my clothes?
Yeah.
Like, it's...
It was normal.
Yeah, and now I'm like... hating putting it in a damn machine where I press a button that looks like a play button. It means start, but I always call it play. I tell my wife, press play on it. She's like, it's start.
How do you say play in Spanish?
I don't know. We don't have those.
Well, never mind.
Touching a soft spot there.
No, right.
No, but yeah, that's – I mean, we're getting mad. Like, I get mad when my AC isn't working perfectly in my car.
Right.
I get mad when I'm running out of gas.
Yeah. Like, well, that's a pretty fucking good reason to get mad, mostly at yourself.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, we have a car. We have a gas station. We drive to every other corner, we'll find one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things like that. I don't know. It's just I'm grateful for it now, and I – just to think back, it makes me feel – spoiled / happy that we are at a place where we're at now. Very grateful and thankful, and it just thinking back at it, just it opens your eyes, and it should, you know,
it reminds you of where you've been.
Yeah,
you know, because like you said, it's not every day that we get up and we say, hey, you know, when we turn on that light switch, remember when you didn't have power? And it's not every day that we get up and we take a shower and say to yourself, hey, remember when you couldn't take a shower? You know, that would almost be purposely living your life and just gluttony
misery.
For no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, but reflecting from time to time, like we talked about earlier, just
in a positive way.
Yeah, exactly. Looking back and saying, you know what? I remember this is what I came from, because that molds who you are, in my opinion, today. If you had a shitty beginning, chances are you're either going to do a couple things, either A, you're going to make sure your beginning or your life doesn't turn into that. You're B, going to blame your actions and behaviors on that.
Stay on that
shithole. Right, exactly. Or C, I don't know, maybe a combination of the two. You're going to live an average life and you're going to be okay. And that's fine. Yeah. You know,
whatever people are happy with, that's
whatever makes you happy.
Fine.
Exactly. As long as if you're in a position where, hey, you know what? I don't need all the fancy things. I don't care about a fancy car. I don't care about nice clothes. I don't care about – so be it. Mm. As long as you're fucking happy, it doesn't matter.
What matters.
Yeah. I mean
– and don't get me wrong. Like we had – like I would tell my parents to buy me a camera. They never bought me a camera. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them, you know, to buy me, you know, just toys and stuff. And my parents actually said I was pretty good about not asking for stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I learned quick. My brother was the one who would ask for stuff.
Right.
And he would cry, and they still wouldn't get him shit. So I don't know why he kept on doing it, but whatever.
Doesn't surprise me that he would cry.
But I was, you know, I remember always wanting a wagon, a red wagon with white wheels.
Yep.
Yeah.
The radio flyer
always,
wagons.
Always wanted one. And you. Or I picture somebody wanting a wagon that's like 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
I still wanted it. I was like 12 or 15 years old when I finally got one.
Yep.
And it was a free one that my parents clean houses that they give. It was a move out clean. There was a wagon. I loved the wagon. And I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the verge of being an adult.
Yeah.
And I loved that wagon. And it's just.
Do you still have it?
I have two other ones. I bought them at a yard sale.
Now, he's a wagon hoarder.
Now I luckily been blessed to have the means, and I went down the street, bought a wagon on a yard sale.
Yep.
Why? Because I always wanted one.
And hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's
you know? I mean, you're going to be on like a special episode of Hoarders, and they're going to be like, this man has 700 wagons in his house. And you're going to be out there like, I just want a wagon. No, but that does come to a good point. You know, we see those things like when I was a kid, I wanted very what I considered then far-fetched things. You know, I wanted a Lamborghini. I wanted a Porsche. I wanted all these cool things. And even today. So this is weird. Today on the way to work, I looked down at my steering wheel. And I'm driving the BMW today, and I looked down, and I was like, who the fuck would I ever thought I'd be driving one of these? Like, that was an actual thought that went through my head. And, you know, in to some people, that's they don't care. They're like, BMW, those are pieces of shit. Why don't you get something
get
like
a Honda, bro?
No, they're not even saying that. But they're like, why don't you step your game up and get a Ferrari or Rolls Royce or something? You know, and in actuality, they are pieces of shit. No, I'm just kidding. But in actuality, you know, when I reflect back, I look at the fact my mom had a Chevy Chevette. I don't know if you know what those look like. They are a turd on wheels. It's the worst thing that Chevy ever put out. It would break down every fucking day. Every day this thing would break down. We'd be sitting in the back, and it'd be hot as shit, and she'd be underneath the hood figuring out how to get it to run again. And it looked like a little egg. It was the ugliest fucking car in the world. But looking back at that, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Now I have this. I went from that to this.
No wonder you're not so concerned about BMWs breaking down. Right. You're used to three or four times a day breaking down. People BMW's are like, not bad.
Right. People are like, these aren't reliable. I'm like, you ever driven a Chevette?
No, but on a serious note, I totally get what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a different mindset. But the thing is to appreciate it. Because one thing I learned when I broke my legs, all that shit is just shit. Like, seriously, when I broke my legs, I learned a couple valuable lessons. One, nothing fucking matters. Anything could be taken you at any given time. Let me rephrase that. Nothing material matters.
Right.
Things matter. But the material things, they don't make a dick bit of difference because all that stuff can be gone in a blink of an eye if you don't plan. Which brings me to my second thing. Plan. Plan ahead. Plan as if you're going to fucking die tomorrow. Because you need to have the security put in place in order to at least allow your family to consider keep that lifestyle.
Carry on.
If tomorrow I'm on a ventilator and I'm fucking – they're talking about pulling the plug, I need to make sure my kids aren't going to be fucking homeless, you know? And the next thing is you learn who your friends are. Because there was nothing worse than – see, I had a couple of things. I had friends who disappeared and I had friends who emerged. So it was kind of weird. It was like life was playing a magician trick on me. They're like, hey, we're going to make this disappear. But if you watch this hand over here, this is going to reappear. And what's in this hand is a lot less shittier than what's in this hand, you know? And that was old friends out, new friends in. And it was amazing the amount of support when you're a likable human being that you get from people. And that's what I thrived on, you know, having the support and realizing, hey, shit gets gone quick.
Yeah.
You know? It's something we always have to keep in the back of your head. I don't give a fuck how nice your Ferrari is, how big your mansion is, how much money you got sitting in the bank. All that shit can be gone tomorrow. And if it's gone, what do you have left? You as a person. You know, you have either you're likable or you're not.
Your core values.
Yeah. You're either trustworthy or you're not. You're either there for people or you're not. You know, and those are key things that no matter how much money you have, you can't buy that. You can't say, hey, you know what? I'm going to pay $1,000 this month for trust. And that's going to buy me trust. Like, this isn't a fucking video game. You know, you don't level up and you're like, you get experience trust for the next 3 hours. Well, and I say that.
I need to get my
Sims.
Money back from trust.com.
Right. Is there a website called trust.com?
I don't know.
It's a Ponzi scheme. People are fucking taking money and shit. But I talk about leveling up for a couple hours because I've been playing Sims. Like, when I'm bored, I'll get on there, and it's such
a
juvenile game.
Like a mortgage originator on Sims?
No, I don't have a job on Sims. I'm like a fucking barista maker. You know? I got this little bullshit job, but it doesn't matter. I just added on a 12x12 addition to my house, and it cost me like $320 on Sims. So I'm living the life right now. I'm balling. But
you put any real money in that?
No. Fuck no. It pops up all the time, though. It's really? Like, hey, pay $4.99 for this magic pack. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I struggled worse than this when I was a kid. I'm like, this motherfucker's having parties every other day. I'm good. But no, I mean, like you said, you know, it's not like we turn the light on and we say, oh, I got electricity. Thank God. You know, but you have to be grateful for things. So it's very easy to get caught up in the complaints. And the other day, a buddy of mine, he was talking about, you know, this has been a shitty year. I blew the second motor on my Porsche. My Duramax is having issues. And then his water heater busted on his house. And I said, I'm going to flip this for you. And I'm going to throw this at you. One, you have a Porsche. Two, you have a Duramax. Three, you have a home to live in. Four, you have problems that an employed, successful person has. Congratulations. And that's the way I see it.
Yes.
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the bullshit. It's so easy to sit there and say, ah. Oh, drive a BMW, it breaks down all the time. Well, at least I don't drive a Chevette, you know. But it's so easy to get caught up in the bad and forget about the good, forget about the family. Forget about the fact that I'm now 37 years old and I'm semi-healthy. I may be a little fat, but at least I'm healthy, you know. it's easy to look around and be envious of people. Ryan Stueman just bought a fucking Rolls Royce, you know.
Badass. Good for him, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Good for him. But it would be easy to be like, well, I deserve one too. No, I don't, because I haven't worked as hard as he has in order to earn that. And that's the difference. Like, if you're going to look at somebody with the eyes of envy, you have to be able to look at them with the willingness of work. No. So if I look at somebody, you know, you made a funny comment when you came in. You were like, what'd you say?
I don't remember.
About my level. Oh, you were like, I always look at you and think about how can I get on your level. Dude, you are. The difference is we work in two different ways. You know, you're doing things that discipline and other things have taught you to do, which is good. It's great. You know, you took something that was a shitty situation growing up as a kid. Once again, not shitty because your parents, mm-hmm. because your parents did everything they could to provide.
Oh, dude, I can, like, Sino, I could not have done or started where I have started without them. It's beyond, I can't even explain how far ahead they went to get me to where I started. And I plan on building on it, but I'm sorry, carry on.
No. That's a very valid and a great point, because you're taking that lesson and you're building from it. The shittiest thing you can do is have somebody sacrifice everything.
Throw it all away.
For you not to do nothing. You know,
yeah.
It's funny that I read a text message, or not a text message, I'm sorry. I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, Jason Connor. I think you know who Jason is as well. Jason Connor is an insurance agent. He is with, I believe he's still with Liberty Mutual. And we were having a conversation of when he was deployed. And the one thing he said is, he's like, you know what changes you? When you have to write your letter that says, if I die.
In case you don't come back.
In case you don't come back, give them this letter. And here's what he said. And this is a profound, to me, this is a profound section of what he said, his goodbye letter, as he calls it. And Jason's a fucking warrior. Let me tell you, this guy, he works his ass off. But I want to read this one small section. And it says, if I pay the price for freedom with my life, please live your life as normal and as possible, as I will be in a better place.
That's awesome.
So what's the worst thing you can do in a situation when someone's done that? Is you live your life shitty and you complain and you don't live to your maximum potential. So having parents that are willing to give all to make it work for
literally
you.
Literally all.
Right. And if you take that for granted and don't do shit with it, you're living their sacrifice in vain. Like, how embarrassing would that be?
That would suck. I can possibly see why people would do that. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure whoever's listening might have something going on in their life and they're not feeling too good about themselves. It's okay. Just look at it the positive way or turn it around. So, you know, by any means, feel, you know, you're allowed to feel bad and have feelings. But just look at it on the flip side, like you said. And take advantage of the opportunity you have. No matter how shitty it is, you got there through some sort of opportunity.
Some sort of sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. And like you said, you know, it's okay to look and reflect and say, you know what, I haven't done the things I need to do. Because everybody has another chance. I say everybody, not everybody.
Right.
But people have a chance to redeem themselves and do the things they need to do. So,
or change.
Yeah, you take people. I've got a buddy of mine on Facebook. You know, he's a very successful business owner. He spent some time in prison. You know, he gets out of prison, turns his whole fucking life around, and becomes this successful entrepreneur. The funny thing is, I know several people like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, to do something like that says, you know what, I fucked up. And I took whatever it was that, you know, was offered to me or whatever life lessons were given to me, and I took those in vain.
Made the best out of it.
Well, they took them in vain initially, and they fucked up. And then they came out and they said, you know what, this isn't the life for me. What the life for me is living the life I deserve, you know? And that's the thing. I say it all the time. I hope you have the weekend that you deserve to have. I tell that to people because if you've worked your ass off and your weekend consists of you relaxing with the family and enjoying life and doing all that shit, then that's what you earned. But if you spend the weekend drunk, hungover, worrying about bills and everything else, but you don't have your shit in order, that's the weekend you deserve to have, you know? Eventually, those things will catch up to you.
Yeah, it reminds me of a saying, one of my favorite quotes. I think I gave it to you for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you may not always get what you wish for, but you always get what you work for.
Yes, and so true. So true. You know, it's funny. We saw the guy from the gym today.
Talk about being disciplined and doing what you have to do, right?
Right. You want to talk about get what you work for. So I've been on this pursuit to, like, get in shape because I'm sick of being fat. I'm sick of being nasty. You know,
you'll do it.
Exactly. I will. So the guy from the gym is sitting behind us today, or actually behind Eduardo. So I'm directly facing this guy and we acknowledge each other and, hey, how's it going? Hey, I'll see you at the gym tonight. And then she comes over to take the order. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take a sweet potato, no sugar, tea, unsweet. And so, like, I'm making healthy decisions because the last thing I want is this dude to come up to me and be like, so you going to work extra hard on the bike today because all that sugar and all that fucking sweet tea you had at lunch? You know, so that's accountability. Now, she did bring me the potato with sugar in, and I was like, oh, he's gone. Thanks so much. You know, it's like she read my mind. But I'm only going to get what I work hard for. And if I want to be in shape, I don't give a fuck about six-pack abs and raging biceps and, you know.
Everybody's idea or ideal.
My idea is this. My idea is when my daughter says, Daddy, carry me, and then my son looks at me and says, Daddy, carry me too, that I can successfully carry both those people without being out of breath, whether it's upstairs, downstairs, across the room, wherever it may be, because that happens all the fucking time. You pick one up, the other one's like, hey, me too. And you're like, ugh. But the fact
asking
that,
for a quarter a ride.
Exactly. Yeah, you know where they're going to get it from. Daddy, can I have a quarter?
I can ride you.
Right. Bullshit. But, you know, I have to be in shape. And so in order to achieve that, I have a mission to cut weight to a certain weight every time. And I'm reaching that. So my first one was to cut 10 pounds in 3 weeks. Boom. Done. Check. No problem. The next one is to cut another 10 pounds in 3 weeks. Okay. We're on the way. We'll see how that works out. But I know I have to do those things by cutting back on drinking, cutting back on eating out, eating healthier, preparing meals. Like, Jeff's been out of town, and I've meal prepped every day, and I'm eating healthier. You know, it's simply because we're not sitting around saying, hey, do you want to go out to lunch? Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do, like, Chick-fil-A or, you know, shitty shit? So it's taking my workouts further, you know.
I had Sonic today.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But that goes back into the we sacrifice for what we want, you know. Being in shape is not just going to one day I wake up and I'm like, dude, look at this. Yeah. Look at these fucking abs.
And you're not going to hate on people who are already built and swole.
The fuck I'm not. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, because the thing is like I said, six-pack abs and everything else like that, I don't give a fuck about. But if that's your thing and that's what you work for, congratulations, because that takes a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication, and I admire somebody that has that. Unfortunately, it's not a priority for me. I just want to be in good enough shape to live long enough to see my kids graduate. They're not getting married, but – well, my son might. My son's going to meet some smoking hot woman, and he's going to get married. My daughter's going to be a nun.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Right. I'm so fucked. But, you know, that's the thing. And I want to be able to, in 10 years from now, look back, and this is the flip side of what we're talking about, look back and say all that hard work got me to this, you know, and be grateful because all that hard work built up. And just like you said, your parents made a lot of sacrifice to get you to where you are today. And I know your dad's very proud of you. Like, the look in that man's eye when he talks about you is fucking amazing. It's a true father-son bond. And you have not let that man down. And I know 110% without a doubt, you'll never let that man down. I know that when things are slow, you'll find a way. You know, that's the difference between you and a lot of people is if things aren't going the right way, you'll find a way. You know, you'll build a path. You'll do whatever it is you have to do. And when I say build a path, I'm not making that as a Mexican joke, but you'll find a way.
We'll make a tunnel, bro.
Right. You'll build a tunnel. Okay. Like, here's Al Chapo of the dreams.
No, but I like what you said. You'll do what it takes.
Yeah.
And it's what you should do. I mean,
anything it takes.
And we were going back to where we started originally. You know, you know, we had maybe not everything as we were growing up.
Right.
But now we know what it takes and we're doing it.
And we know what it feels like to not have. Yeah. Something as simple as power. Like, that's all it takes is that little reminder when you flip on the switch and you're like, fuck, I remember when this used to not be the case. Or when you open up the fridge and your peanut butter jar says Jif and not peanut butter in a fucking white container with black letters on it.
True
that's straight
value
up.
Or what is it?
True Value's ass. This is like straight from USDA. Like, back in those days.
That's the healthiest.
It probably is. But back in those days, if you'd have came up to me talking about USDA, I'd have been like, oh, peanut butter? You know, because that's where we got our shit from. But, you know, at the end of the day, It doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you've made mistakes down the road. We all make mistakes.
And
we
you're going to make more.
Yeah, exactly. There's no straight path to success. Typically, the person that you see that's most successful used to be the loser that tried one more time, you know? So if you're listening to this, maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've had some bumps along the road. Maybe things just aren't working out. Maybe your significant other just left. Good. You know, you're off to a better path. You're off to something stronger, something better, building a better you. So any closing thoughts?
Yeah. Well, for I guess since we're in this topic. So whenever you might not know where you're going, there is no direct path towards success or to get you out of wherever you are.
Right.
But there's also it's also not a secret. You just got to execute.
Yeah, there's no secret, you know, and the people, the funny thing is the most successful people are willing to share the path. You know, here's what I did, here's what I didn't do, here's what I would have done.
And something somebody told me is ask for help.
Yeah.
If they say no, you didn't want their help anyways because they're, yeah, fuck them.
Because they're greedy.
Or for whatever the reason, you just didn't want them.
Yeah. No. Nope, that's another good point. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope that this message has come across to you guys. I hope that somebody that's listening to this podcast heard this, and I hope it reached in deep and helped maybe change an opinion that you may have. Also, don't forget, I'm looking for feedback, guys. If you guys are enjoying this podcast, if you like it, if you think, hey, you know what, you should really tweak this or tweak that, send me a private message or feel free to send me an email at aj@ajnashville.com. Thanks again for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, guys. Thanks again for tuning in to the AJ Nashville podcast. Let me take a second to thank our sponsors, the people that make it possible for me to be in your ears on a week-to-week basis. Thanks again for tuning in. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900.